हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमविर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 34, Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthir, Chapter 14, Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti. As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interesting that he mentions professional activities. Nardman. Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Prakrit Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.4. Right? So it's the same principle as that religious activities not connected to the Lord. They won't help you. So he's pointing out religious activities won't help you, the Lord, in the same way than activities that are just occupational are not going to connect you to the Lord. Does that make sense? Because how you say, is that if you're performing your duties because that's the duty to be performed, then it falls within the position of religion, right? That you're following your duties. But if you're not connecting to the Lord, it's a waste of time. Let alone just the activity itself or the profit made from it. Mm-hmm. And we're not even, let's say, connecting the points. So nothing is going to, except that which is connected to the Lord, it's not going to have any benefit. Right? Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Prakrit, 10.1.4. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the Parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false, temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Right? So it's the right medicine. It's naturally relished by those who don't have any interest in the mundane. Those who do, then it's the medicine.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in any case, it's what should be heard. The ones want to hear and chant. The others, it's because one should.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Okay, so that's that famous. Bina Prashubna, yeah. Demigods to Sri Krishna, 10.2.32. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Right? So it's an imagined superiority. You're within the material world. It may be a better situation in the material world. You know, it's just like, let's say we're in the prison, but your cell's closer to the bathroom, so you think that you are superior than the others in the other cells who are there farther away. It's imagined. You're in the material world. It's all bad. It's only good, you can say, is no, but all these things can be used in Krishna's service. Exactly. That's the only way that you can judge that something's better or not, is its use in Krishna's service. But pride doesn't come from that. Pride comes from thinking that we are that. Right? You know, that's the Mahavakya. just a little updated. So it's not that we are Brahman. I am that car. Yeah. Okay, they fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So whatever it is, they'll be there. They'll fall down. It's just time. That's all. Ritualistic Brahmins condemn themselves. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:23-40. To hell with our threefold birth, our vow of celibacy, and extensive learning. Right? So here their position is that, okay, to hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. So they're not just Brahmins who are just doing their daily yagyas. These are ones who are doing these above that, Shrauta yagyas, these bigger yagyas. So they're even more proud. So because you see here the threefold birth. Right? Because if they were dwijas, then they would be performing their daily yagyas and all that. So, and that, but here they have big facility, right? How do you feed Krishna and his cowherd boys if you're just doing your daily yagya? They have to be doing something big. So that means they're tweejas. And because of that, they're very proud, right? To become to that platform, they have to be quite qualified. With our, so such qualifications, such, extensive learning, aristocratic background, expertise in rituals of sacrifice, these are all condemned because we are inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead. So something's judgment is only its connection to Krishna. It's connected, it's valuable. It's not connected, that's what's unfavorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It really makes sense now. Because I remember that question.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, and it wasn't very clear there in the context.
Oh, of the yeah, three birds.
In the 10th canto.
Yes.
When there were questions, Vastupraya questions about this.
Oh, okay.
Why it's unfavorable.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're thinking, it's nice to be there. What do you mean?
Yeah, which is not true.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. When you see it in the line, then you see what it is. Because it'll be all of these is taken from different angles on how. So a lot of them you see is that they're talking about it, in the context that it should be something glorious. In the material world, it is. But that's the point. It's the imagined superiority. But because they didn't see it in regard for his lotus feet, so then it's put in this context. That's why then he puts it in this particular order. Yeah, so that's good. Good.
Maharaj, can we say this verse also can apply to Sambandha? In the sense that
it can do so many things, but he's put it here, because we can probably put all the verses in Sambandha. So then we'd have to read the whole Bhagavatam, and the first thing, then read the whole Bhagavatam, which would be a good time. Sambandha Abhidhaya Prayog, you read through the Bhagavatam three times. Then it's So it's not that these aspects aren't there and won't come up. You have to see what's the main point. It's a subtle thing in the Vedic. It's about what's the prominent element. Let's say every day there's dinner, right? And on a regular occasion you go out to some fancy place. Like that. And while you go on vacation, you go to a fancy place, it's just, you've gone to other things, or you got a raise, or this and that, like that. But this time you're going out to a fancy place because it's anniversary. Okay? So, it's about the anniversary, even though it's the same place that you went, because, let's say you got a raise, or just that you needed to go someplace nice, or somebody had heard about someone else going there and they felt they should go there also. And yes. That
yes.
Word? So, but you have to see what's the flavor, what's the point. So here what they're trying to bring out is that because they didn't see whatever their qualifications in Sambandha, in relationship to devotional service to the Lord, it becomes an unfavorable position. So we're talking about the position is unfavorable for devotional service. So you're going to hear this in Sambandha also. But when we get into Abhideya, we have to remember is that the Abhideya is the application of that Sambandha Gyan. So we have to see that we're applying it properly. So when we go to apply it, that's when we're going to see something there. Because otherwise, we hear it here. And then we go out and then someone says something. But I've been, here in the temple for, 30 years. Who are you to say? So that's this point.
Yes.
So that's the thing. It comes up because that was the whole thing is that these cowherd boys, right? They're Vaishyas and they're kids. And they come up and ask if you can, you know, give something for Krishna and Balaram. Because of their pride and this and that, they're doing important yajnas. Why should they be feeding these kids? You know, there may be a time in the yajna where they're supposed to feed, distribute food, but it's not now. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know. But they're bringing out is, no, the purpose of your yajna is to please the Lord. Here's the Lord to accept your offering. Right? You can offer it through the rituals, through the fire. Or here you got the opportunity to directly offer it to the Supreme Lord himself as Bhagavan, instead of worshipping as Brahman or Paramatma.
Yes. Yes.
But they don't take it. They think they're proud of their rituals. They're proud of their extensive learning, their position, their all these things. Well, you know, it's like this. Threefold birth, right? These boys aren't even, they're only, they haven't even gotten Dwija yet. Right? Vow of celibacy. Okay, they're kids, but they haven't taken a vow, but they have, right? You know, so our extensive learning, the kids, you know how to take care of cows. You know, aristocratic background, they're Vaishyas, right? You know, expertise in the rituals of sacrifice, they don't know all these things. So these are all condemned because we're inimical to the transcendental personality godhead. So that's the things, they don't have any meaning. So they become proud of their position. So these are just things that are unfavorable, and we can see them in the practical application of our devotional service. So, yes, and understand the philosophy, you know that this is, that'll be in Sambandha. But at the same time, in Abhideya, you also have to be able to appreciate it.
It is a continuation.
It's continuation, because it's just the application. You have relationship, process, and result. But it's based on the relationship that you're applying. Like, you know, this is a slice of bread. This is a toaster. You know, this is your hand. The toast goes in the toaster, not your hand. Right? And the toast goes, and the bread goes into the toaster, not your hand. Right? So you have to know how to put it all together. Because if you try to put the bread into your hand, then once it's crunched up, it somehow or another doesn't fit into the toaster very well. And even if it does, it'll get stuck there and burn. Right? So therefore, you just use your fingers, you know, to pick it up. You know, you don't use your whole hand to pick up the slice of bread, right? So you have to know the relationship. And you have to know the relationship between the toaster and that funny little socket on the wall. You know, that's connected. And, you know, does that make sense? You know, and that you paid your electric bill. And, you know, all these things. Like that. So all that together, then, you know, that's sambandha gyan. Now you have to apply it. So if something doesn't work, then there's something wrong in your understanding. Is that... You know, so you put the toast in the machine, and you don't get toast. Well, do you know how to use the machine? Have you pushed the little thing down? Or you did push it down, but it still didn't toast. So is it plugged in? Or it is plugged in. Okay, so it's in India, where instead of being 220 volts, it's only 90. You know, so that's why. You know, so all these things, then you can understand. So, yes. Toasters work, or should I stick to potatoes?
Toasters
okay.
For a certain people.
Oh, okay. So it's not
universal.
No, it's not universal.
Really? I thought everybody had a toaster.
No,
I don't mean a devotional service.
We have no toaster.
Oh, you just put it on a rack and put it in the oven.
On the table.
Or on the frying pan or something. We
oh,
never
okay.
have toaster.
Oh, okay. No. They still don't have toasters?
Well,
now they have toasters.
Certain places.
Okay, certain places. Okay. Still out in the stalag, they don't have them. Right?
No.
Now they just roast the people, right? And they hold the toast. Yeah, turn them over. We have to do the other side. Okay. No? No comment. Krishna the sage is at Kurukshetra. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84-13. One who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthly image, earthen image, or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth. Such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Right? So these kind of things aren't favorable. That whole bodily identification. Interesting. Thinks an earthen image or the land or the land of his birth is worshipable. So even just the earthen image, you know, means one is that you have, like, say, a doll or something like that, you know, or a statue or things like that, that they'll be his or something, or that it's important because, you know, or just that, or you could say, if you're taking the subtle, just the image of the countryside or something like that. You saw something very beautiful, and then that becomes very important, like that. So if you don't see these things in connection with the service to devotees, then they have no real benefit. Shri Krishna Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-30. You should not share this instruction with anyone who is hypocritical, atheist, or dishonest, or with anyone who will not listen faithfully, who is not a devotee, or who is simply not humble. Okay.
So simply not humble covers.
Or simply not humble. Yeah. So, yeah, so it's... Yeah. Okay, someone has to be careful. Yes.
Maharaj, it basically disqualifies everybody in Kali Yuga because we fall into one of those categories somehow or other.
Well, so as long as in this area one's not. Right? At least if not like that. So who's not a devotee? So then everybody's a devotee. Unless you're using Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's definition, then that. But the point is generally it's practicing. Like we say, bhakti means the practice.
Right.
Prema then is when we're talking about the goal.
Yeah.
You know, it can all be called bhakti, but it all can't be called prema. Does that make sense?
So
then if one's not hypocritical, let's say, in trying to understand philosophy, maybe in practicing certain aspects of your life or something, there may be that. Atheistic, as long as you accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and that, maybe the religious aspect doesn't work so well, so you wouldn't explain it in that side so much. Dishonest, you know, so as long as you can be honest within trying to analyze this, maybe in something else one's not, you know. Or then it would not listen faithfully, then that, of course, then there's no point in speaking it. Because if when you're discussing it, if they won't listen with an idea to understand, don't. And who is not humble. So if that, like we said this morning, the person who demands an answer, it means it doesn't, they won't understand this. That's why generally you see the approach is something more cultural. Like that, because they're demanding on their rights and all that, so you answer within the context of rights. Because the philosophy, you answer that, they'll just say that's theory. Or it doesn't apply, or, you know, something. So to avoid that, then you have to see is what way of speaking that the person will move forward, will accept. That's what you want to look for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole point. Shri Krishna Uddhava 11:26-3. One should never associate with materialists, those dedicated to gratifying their genitals and bellies. By following them, one falls into the deepest pit of darkness, just like a blind man who follows another blind man. Right, so one may in the world have to associate with such persons because of, you know, occupation, or just they happen to be on the same train and they're sitting in the seat in front of you. So that means they're going forward, you're behind them. So that doesn't mean you're following them. Like that. You know? So it just means that you don't take up their values. That's why for us, our values come from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Then we apply into the context of what's there. But to take up the values of these individuals, what's the point? Because that's why they do things, because of what they're doing. It gratifies the genitals or belly or some connection that way. Okay? K. King Puru Rava chanting the Aila Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26-24. Therefore, one should never let his senses associate freely with women or with men attached to women. Even those who are highly learned cannot trust the six enemies of the mind. What to speak then of foolish persons like me? Right. So this is Puru Rava. Right. So he's Aila. Right. So the senses associate freely. It's a matter of what is the service, what is the rules, what is the connection that one is involved in. Mm-hmm. According to that, that's how you deal with Krishna's energy. That's Yukta Vairagya. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, we don't have that concept of Yukta Vairagya, then we're just dealing with Krishna's energies how we please. It will always create problem. Right? Does that make sense? So it means all things. So it doesn't mean here specifically just women. If you mention women, then that means all aspects of engaging the senses. Does that make sense? Like that. Because in dealing with women, they deal in all these areas. And so to deal with women, you have to deal in all these areas. So then it means that just like when Prabhupada says, when you say 100 rupees, it includes the 10 rupee and 5 rupee stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? So everything else is included. So when you're talking about that principle of trying to control and enjoy Krishna's energy, then that's the principle. Because for women, it'll be men. You know, it's just the same. It's the same principle. That context, it's all involved. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, in other words, because the six enemies are always there. It's just a matter if you're always absorbed in Krishna, then they don't come up, or if they do, you can immediately see it. Because when you're absorbed in Krishna, then something that's not, you can see the difference. Mm-hmm. Yes. That makes sense? Just like if you're smelling something nice, you can immediately tell if something doesn't smell nice. Yes. Right? But if you're always just absorbed in smelling things that are not nice, you can't tell what's not nice. Is that... Yeah. Chamasarishi to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5-10. The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still, the Lord remains situated apart, just as the sky, which is all-pervading, does not mix with any material object. Right? The sky remains the sky. You're there. It's not that it's mixed with you. And when you move, then that part of the sky that where you were standing moves with you, and now there's a vacuum there. You know, and then the guy next to you gets sucked into it. You know, like that. And what happened to Harold? Yeah, he got sucked into the vacuum created when he moved. You know, I wonder if they become black, so they become black holes and they suck in. Yeah, so it doesn't. It's just still there. When you move, it's still there. It means you're taking in that space, but it doesn't mix. So when you move, it's still in the same place. So it's always there, but never mixes. Thus, the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorified in the Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about him. They prefer to waste their time discussing their own mental concoctions, which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and meat eating. Such as. Chapter 15. Analysis of favorable conditions for bhakti. Bhakti anukul vichar. Viti, having described the unfavorable conditions for bhakti in the previous chapter, now the author describes the favorable conditions in chapter 15. Lord Maharashtu, Lord Nrsingadev, Srimad Bhagavatam 7:9-18. O my Lord Nrsingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees, who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. And so, by associating with the devotees, he'll become free from the material qualities. Right? So you can say, oh, but you're giving up the unfavorable. But the focus is on that rendering service to the association of devotees.
Yes.
You understand? It's just where the focus is.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes.
Well, sometimes we see in one scripture, the unfavorable comes and then followed by explaining the favorable. And some other books, it's favorable comes first and then the unfavorable. So is it matter the sequence or?
You have to just see the situation. The point is that you should end up with an understanding of the favorable.
Okay.
So if by giving the unfavorable that's there and then giving the favorable, it'll act as a conclusion and that'll be what's remembered.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're dealing with a large volume of something, you need to give what's favorable first so they have the context and you can always refer back. Because in the process of discussing it before getting there, they may not understand where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to see. Or we see what Prabhupada does is he'll constantly be going back and forth. Even if he's discovering unfavorable, he'll always be mentioning about the favorable.
Right.
And when he mentions the favorable, he'll also mention the unfavorable, so just so that you don't get distracted. Like he'll start off, Varnashram, you know, human life begins with Varnashram. Right? And then he'll just mention a few things about it, but then he'll get into don't be distracted by it and don't, you know, get on the bodily concept because of it and the secondary platform and all that. But many times devotees will take it that, oh, see, Prabhupada rejects. You know? But the point is no, he's made the statement, this is human life. And so from human life, that's the most favorable position to serve Krishna. Though you can serve from below that, but then, you know, then that's okay, but then don't get grumpy about not having the good material facilities. Or if you are grumpy, then know that that's just part of not acting in human life, right? Because human life, you can be happy and not be so worried about these things. And if you're working below human life, you're always going to be grumpy because that's just the, right? You know, it's like, how you say? Well, the fine Malecha and Yavana, we never, you know, happy is not one of the words that comes to mind. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Krishna to Uddhava, 11:11:48. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. Right? So, taking shelter of the Lord under the in devotional service under the direction of the devotees. That's what's favorable. Not doing that, that's not favorable. Right? So it's not that, okay, well, it's one of the things you can do in devotional service. No, it's the thing that makes it work. Because you generally see when he opens the chapter, he'll bring out those that really establish the whole point. Then he'll get into other details afterwards. Shri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:12:1-7. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification." So he says all objects by association with devotees. Because one gets a higher taste, one starts to lose these other tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Means if just by associating with devotees one is absorbed, then that's all that's necessary, just the natural that comes in that, and then performance of your duties.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to, you can focus more on these direct activities. Right? That's why you see someone in the beginning of devotional service is only doing, the only thing that are devotional are the direct activities. All the indirect, they don't even know about how you can connect it to Krishna, and they're not. But because they're absorbed in the thought of the direct activities, it all moves forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can we say that we should try and strive to create favorable conditions?
Should we strive for favorable? Yes, of course. But it's not about the favorable condition means that it's connected to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Krishna's pointing out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then if you find there's attachment that's not going away very easily, you can take that and specifically following the rules in connection with it, engage in the Lord's service.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, just by being engaged in the Lord's service, all these things would just go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Ashtanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice nonviolence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances, and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control. Right, so it's only by associating with the pure devotees. That's what brings Krishna under control. So all these others may be helpful in being situated in service to devotees. So you're taking the instructions, you're applying them in all these different situations. But that's not what's going to actually catch Krishna. So that's the point. It's the devotees that are important. Right? So you don't want to explain that point too strongly to the non-devotees. Right? Because otherwise we see is that understanding that, that's why then the demons go out and harass the Brahmins and cows. Because they know they're dear to Vishnu. Right? So the technical points, the mechanical, those things you can deal with. You know, the position of God, position of the living entity, that you can try discussing. But if you see a person not interested, don't discuss it. Does that make sense? In every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Thus such living entities as the daityas, rakshasas, birds, beasts, gandharvas, apsaras, nagas, siddhas, charanas, guhyakas, and vidyadharas, as well as such lower class human beings as the vaishyas, shudras, women, and others, were able to achieve my supreme abode. Vritrasura, Prahlad Maharaj, and others like them also achieved my abode by association with my devotees, as did personalities such as Vrishaparva, Bali Maharaj, Banasura, Maya, Vibhishana, Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Jatayu, Tuladhara, Dharma, Vyadha, Kubja, the gopis in Vrindavan, and the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifice. Right, so he's just pointing out that by coming in contact with the devotees, they attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's the actual main point. So we can see analysis favorable. This is the main point that's favorable. All other things can support this favorableness. Right? Applying the instructions that are given, we apply that, then that's it. The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literature. Nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by associating with me and my devotees, they achieved me. Right? So even great saintly persons means the great scholars and great ascetics and all these things. It's not even that. Mm-hmm. It's by associating with Krishna and his devotees. Mm-hmm. So that simple point, all things will be there. That's why we saw before is someone who has that faith, that's what makes it work. Mm-hmm. Right? If you have that faith, that all other things are contained in this item, then that faith will clear all anarthas. That's what he says. By associating with devotees, all anarthas are clear. That means you have the faith that that association is the best of all activities. That itself will clear the anarthas. Is that, you know, that's the whole point. Is that, yeah? Because if we think that these other things, they're the ones that make it work, then it'll be slow. And you'll have to do that hard work to try to make these secondary aspects of religion work. Mm-hmm. We have to remember association with devotees is the primary aspect of religion. It's direct. Right? So of the five main items that are direct, then association with devotees is the one that makes the other four function. That's how you know about them. So... Yeah. Devahuti Dukardama Muni, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:23-55. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Right? So someone moves forward. Let's say you're sitting on the bus with somebody and just having a pleasant conversation. They like associating with the devotee. So then they'll advance because of that. Even they don't have any knowledge or anything. It'll still work. The process still works. Someone always wants to take advantage of the association of devotees. right? But just to hang out with friends because it's fun, you know, for sense gratification, then that will cause bondage. But to hang out with friends because you can do things connecting to Krishna, because they're connected to Krishna, then that you move forward. Maharaj Nimi to the 9 Yogendras, because then there'll be service. 11, 2, 29, and 30. For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees, who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Therefore, O completely sinless one, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Mm-hmm. So, getting a human life for the conditioned living entities is very rare. And to get the association of pure devotees, that's even more rare. Mm-hmm. So that's the best thing. That's the most favorable thing for devotional service. Mm-hmm. Shri Krishna de Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11, 29-32. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving towards all living entities, right? Because the idea that justice is important, but then one the point in justice that we're looking at is retribution, right? It's not that someone should behave properly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We focus on the punishment aspect, not that they should behave properly. Because mm-hmm. if they're behaving properly, then what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Right? So if they're behaving properly, then forgiveness. But that means then there can't be the sense of retribution. Otherwise, you want to think, okay, they're forgiven and all that, but what about what they've done? So then that means that forgiveness is not there. So that's what you see, is that saintly, they have that. They're not bothering others, and they're kind, they're not bothering others, and they don't have the they're forgiving towards all living entities, even though that they deal with them not so great. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's not that sense that that's justice. Because the point is everything's Krishna's. Being engaged in Krishna's service, that's just. But we have our own sense of justice. So that's always going to be a problem. Yeah? His strength and meaning in life come from the truth itself. Right? He is freed from all envy and jealousy. And his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Right? The situations, you just deal in the situation appropriately. Thus, he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. Right? And that means to a transcendental position. Because this position, to have this mentality, needs to approach it from in connection with Krishna. So therefore then, the welfare means how to bring people closer to Krishna. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires. And he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary. And he is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities. And he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. The saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties. He is never subject to superficial transformations. Because he is steady and noble, even in a distressing situation. He has conquered over the 6 material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others, and therefore he never cheats anyone. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all. Being most merciful, such a saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer. And he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Right? So someone's performing duties, you could say, is no, it's only devotional service. But the point is unless they're functioning just in pure devotional service, and that's all that's required, then these duties keep them, they purify them and help them so that that purified state, then if they apply that to Krishna, it'll work very nicely. So therefore you don't disturb those things. Right? Only if it's a obstacle to devotional service, then there may be a question of discussing it. Right? Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. So those duties, only if it's favorable for Krishna's service, are they performed. Others are performed because of the material benefit they'll get. Right? So it's not devotional service. But because it's regulating and all that, it's beneficial. So he's saying devotees can see this. But it's not that they consider you just, that's enough. No, that's that point that they're at now, then you leave that and then you cultivate the higher elements. And so then naturally it comes up. But you know what the standards are, you know how to do those things. Does that make sense? Yes.
Well, how favorable it is for us as the devotees to be engaged in social, developing social projects. Because it means such as?
I don't quite catch how social
like
you're
working
talking.
Working with government, let's say, or cooperating with, I don't know.
Maybe, but what's the purpose of it? Means are you, is one doing it as an occupation, or is it, or you're talking about as...
No, as a long-term preaching development.
But what's the point in doing that?
Because we want to influence, you know, higher levels of society.
Okay.
So if they are influenced, then we can, you know, preach better, get better facilities,
okay,
like that.
So when you meet one person like that from that higher social position, are we taking advantage in discussing about Krishna? Or are we not because we're worried that it's going to affect our position and having that opportunity for that social welfare work? Then that's where you judge. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you dealing? How are you showing? How are you moving it forward? You know, unless the area where you're doing the welfare work in is the area that you're not going to be preaching in, is this something else? You know, then you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just like, let's say you have the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So there, people aren't going to necessarily listen to the devotees, but they'll listen to academics.
Right.
But the point is the academics have to be saying now what the devotees are saying. Yes. If the academics just say what the academics say, then what's the point? Mm-hmm. They're already saying that. Why do we need to get involved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. So the whole point is if it's not that we have faith that this is what makes Krishna consciousness good or this, it's just a matter of if someone is committed to, by that Krishna consciousness, someone is committed, then that's nice. Because we say, oh yes, we'll do these things, but where is it happening? If it's happening somewhere, then that's nice. But otherwise, we just say that it'll make it happen. People appreciate. Okay, they appreciate, but does that change their life? People appreciate Jesus. Do they change their life? What in their life are they doing connected to Jesus?
Well, they go to the church, obviously.
Okay, so if they're going to the church, then that's nice. So once a week, you know, for an hour or two, they go. It's okay, nice. And then the rest of the week. So it's a step forward. It's something. But my point is that it doesn't mean that they're doing anything with it. Because we do welfare things, we get known for that, but then is it going on? It means, like, let's say, prasad distribution. In some area, we're doing lots of prasad distribution. But are we influencing people to take up devotional service or chant?
Not necessarily.
No, but we're getting more and more. Hundreds of thousands, millions are being fed. Okay. But if you're just taking it, okay, it's prasad, and that's all we can do, that's what it gets, then it's just a matter, okay, it's about prasad distribution. But the point is, because they don't know it's prasad, they'll get less benefit than if they knew it was. You know, so then you can just say it's prasad distribution. Don't, you know, that aspect is there. But saying we're going to influence people and get into higher rungs of society and this and that, that's not necessarily so. Because the problem is when we use these comments about being, you know, more liberal and all that, that's not in the higher echelons of society. That's in the middle. The higher echelons are more conservative, that's why they have money. And the lower echelons are conservative because they're realistic. The guys in the middle can afford to not get their money or to waste their money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is are we influencing these two groups? Right? Because the lower group, you could influence by just Krishna conscious, because they're miserable. The higher group, you can also influence by Krishna conscious, because despite their position, they are miserable. You know, if you can point it out practically. You know, intelligently, logically. You know, with conviction. Then they'll accept it. It's the guys in the middle that, oh, unless you're a nice guy, then only we'll consider listening to you. So it's like they're attached to their own ideas of, you know, like this.
Yeah.
So the point is are we making inroads there because we're distributing prasad? Now, if we find from the people we're distributing prasad to that they're coming forward and some of them are taking up and starting to chant and things like that, then that's nice. Mm-hmm. But then it's a matter of when the opportunity comes, you take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let's say the person, you know, is coming to the temple, you know, a couple of times, and, you know, they're, you know, so let's say from business community and all that, and they kind of ask, you know, they're there in their suit, you know, do I have to wear these kind of clothes and all that? He says, no, you don't, you just chant and all this. Now let's say it's been some time and he wants to take up devotional service, and he says, you know, I'd like to, you know, put on a dhoti and, you know, dress and do the things in the temple like that. We say, no, it's not important. You know, you should just stay like that. Then that's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because our conviction is it's not required.
Yeah.
You know, because of our attachment. So then that's not, I mean, his point is you start at wherever the person is, and you let them come up, just like here, Krishna's pointing out, just someone's pious in doing a regulated activity. You know, even if it's impious, but it's regulated, then that regulation is good. The principle of regulation, how they're regulating themselves may not be, but the principle is, so you don't want to break down that concept of regulation. Mm-hmm. You just want to bring it into something more subtle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He is thus considered to be the best of all living entities. So, in other words, being a pure devotee is very favorable to devotional service. Sri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26-27:34. My devotees fix their minds on me and do not depend on anything material. Because material means it's not connected to Krishna. We could say, no, but what about, you have to use the material energy, that means you're not going to use your phone, and like this and that. It's, no, your body is what's already, do you see it as you, or do you see it as Krishna's energy to use in his service? That's what we mean by material. Well, that was good. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.